Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about one special secret.
About accepting the love you receive. Now, one of the things that I have done in the past is not be authentically me all the time when there was somebody that I was interested in. In fact, I would do what I call turn myself into an emotional pretzel in order to, you know, get the person to like me, because I was not always, you know, I was so preoccupied with the idea of being in a relationship, and I was really wanting that other person to, you know, like me and care for me. So I was not being 100% myself all the time. And one of the things that happens is when you're living in that particular state, and you're in a relationship and you are presenting a picture that is not representative of who you are and, you know, who and what you are, and, you know, that picture, that representative that you have, it will begin to melt away. And the truth of who you are will come through. And, you know, nobody can keep that up for an extended period of time. And one of the things that, you know, people should be mindful of is, especially in the beginning, that, you know, it's always a good practice that when you are in that getting to know you phase of being with, you know, being with somebody and getting to know them, is to be mindful of what it is that they're presenting. That, you know, they start asking questions to dig under, and unearth whatever may come up, because everything that you're seeing a lot of times, you know, that may come up maybe every once in a while, you know, the representative, you know, falls for a quick moment and something might come out that isn't necessarily congruent with who they were presenting all of that time. when you get into an intimate relationship without really giving it the time to actually develop, it will show its face. The representative will come down and they will show their true face. And in a lot of times, there are people who will move into the relationship phase of things a little too way too quickly. And as a result of it, they are filled with a whole bunch, their life gets filled with a whole bunch of surprises with whatever this person is presenting for them. Now, one of the things that I will say, when I was doing this, I was really in a state of not being in a place of loving myself and being appreciative of my gifts. And also not really just having this idea or this feeling that if I was truly myself, that nobody would want me.
What? Don't mind me. Go ahead.
Well, you know, but I really had this, this idea, this concept of myself, I know stems from, much of what my childhood upbringing was like, because I was pretty much told that if I was to truly express myself the way I wanted to, that, or do in accordance to what I was really being driven by, that I would not be accepted by my family. I would get ostracized, or, there would be some type of consequence to it. And so unlearning that,
So what was it that you wanted to do that you couldn't do around your family? Were you a rock and roller? Were you a goth chick? What was going on with you? Were you a pothead?
A lot of times I just did not want to do what it is that they told me to do.
But that's all kids. Come on.
Well, the thing is that I was the oldest. I was the oldest amongst all of the Laura Ann's great grand. I'm the oldest of the great grands, and so there was this expectation of me to be the example, to do what was right. And I have to say that I, for the most part, I would say maybe about 90% of the time, I would do exactly what they would say. And the message that got across to me was that, I don't think that it was truly intentional on the part of my family, but the message that I got was that, what I wanted did not necessarily have any value. And so I got really into this thing of people pleasing, because it would go a whole lot easier for me if I did what they told me to do than if I was to not do what they told me to do. Now, mind
okay,
you,
so
I did.
Now I'm nosy, so you're going to try to keep on talking, and I'm going to pull you back.
Well,
if you didn't do what they told you to do, what were you going to get, a beating?
Yeah,
were you going to get ostracized? Were they going to say harsh words to you?
Beaten. And then the thing is that when I got the beating, it wasn't just from my mama. It was from all of the other adults.
Group beating. Yeah, you just went down the line and everybody tagged that tail.
You would either get a group beating, or you would get a stern talking to by, it was one or the other. And so,
up until what age did you stop getting beaten?
I would say around like 11, 12.
Okay.
Is when they stopped with that. With corporal punishment. Although I would have my moments of rebellion, and I would know exactly what was being prompted and motivated. I would have occasionally I would have my moments where, just simply didn't do it.
Okay.
And I suppose that in those particular instances, the consequence did not bother me so much, because 90% of the time I always did what they told me. So me, not doing what they told me to do,
Plus, at that age, you were beyond corporal punishment. You needed a major punishment or some general punishment, a little mere corporal. You ain't worried about him. Come on. You going to do it, let's do it. If it's going down, let's get it over with. I hear you. I understand.
But, you know, what happened was as I became older and I became interested in boys, you know, I became somebody, I became whom I thought they want me to be. I became
who the boys wanted you to be, or who your family wanted you to be?
No, this time I'm like, you know, once I became adult, you know, I became who it was that I thought that the men that I was involved with or the boys that I was involved with wanted me to be.
Oh, snap. Ladies, never do that.
Yeah.
It don't end well, period. There are no exceptions. It don't end well, period.
And apparently, you know, that view or that thinking has not truly left women. Because a lot of times, you know, the women are asking the question, well, what is it that men are looking for in a woman? What is it that, you know, they find attractive?
Curves, hips, and sexy lips.
But, you know, one of the things that you really need to do when, you know, women, you really stop asking that particular question and ask that question of the mirror of who is it that you want to be? Who is it that, you know, who is it that you truly are? Who, you know, what is the best quality, you know, that you have? And start working on yourself, because the thing is that when you begin to work on yourself and have a love and appreciation for yourself, you're just automatically going to draw that similar type of person to you. And one of the things that, you know, all of us should be doing is really just, you know, accepting the individual that, you know, your beloved, for who they are.
Hold up. Let me stop you.
Okay.
You saying that we, as, you know, earth walking fleshies, mortal human beings, should be able to accept one another for just who they are.
Yeah, for just who they are, whatever they're presenting.
That's ludicrous.
Whatever,
you know, we can't do that. How in the world are we gonna do that? How we gonna do? Come on, man. Let's keep it real. You know, I know. You know, somewhere there's a dude walking around. It's 2 weeks before Christmas, and all he wants for Christmas is a big booty girl. You know what I mean? And he gonna lie, cheat, and steal, and everything he gotta do to get him a big booty girl. And she gonna do whatever he want her to do. You know, she gonna conform and twist herself into a pretzel,
yeah,
and after he put some mustard on her, he done. So you were saying to us that we should have no agenda. We should just have nothing up our sleeves, and we should just completely accept this person for who they are, no matter how much we want them to be something else.
Transparent about
we should allow them to say whatever they want to say.
Yes.
We should allow them to act however they want to act.
Yes.
We should allow them to just be them.
Yes.
Fart, scratch, and burp.
You know, and if what they are presenting does not gel with you, then, you know, just let them be. You know,
wait. See, and there you go again, because now my thing is, but you know how that is, because sometimes we just love them so much. How are we going to let them be? Come on now. If they just listen to us, they would be perfect for us. All they got to do is just listen to us and do what we tell them to do,
and
then they'd be perfect for us.
Because
they so close.
I mean,
you know,
really
you right there. Just do what I say.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And I know that this is a concept that may be really difficult for a person to accept. But here's the thing.
Uh-huh. What's the thing?
If they are not presenting, and, you know, if they have personality traits, they have something you know, attitude-wise, you know, within their personalities that you don't like.
Well, isn't that always going to happen in every relationship?
Yeah.
Come on, that's something in your mama that you don't like. You know it. Everybody know it. There's been a time or two you wanted to just smack your mama. And it wasn't because the food was so good.
No, but don't people accept their mama unconditionally?
What? Heck no. They don't accept them unconditionally.
Really?
Really. They don't. They accept them with conditions. I'm so glad I can get the heck away from her. I love my mama, but I can't spend a lot of time with her.
Right.
You know? Or you go straight Melendez on them. Pop, pop, pop. I've had enough of you putting me on punishment.
But you're not necessarily, leaving mom B.
You know, I'm just saying. Every boy who had a father who didn't abandon him knows that someday I'm a challenge dad. You know, he tough now, but I'm going to get to that stage when I can take him down, when I can pin him, when I can put my foot on dad's chest, and then I'm the man of the house. Come on. Come on now. No, we don't do unconditional love for anyone because we can't even do unconditional love for ourselves.
Well,
so how are we going to give away something we can't give to us?
That's why come on.
Even our religions don't allow us to worship unconditionally. You know, we are told that we got to do X, Y, Z in order to get into heaven. So even that comes with conditions. Come on now. Talk to me. How are we going to do unconditional? We in a world where conditions is what it is.
The 50% divorce rate. I mean, really.
Well, we tipped a little above 50% because, you know, we America. We can do that. We can go above 50.
Yes, of course. But obviously something is out of alignment if there are that many people. Obviously there has got to be something that's going wrong.
Maybe it's not the people. Maybe it's the institution of marriage. Maybe that's what's wrong.
Maybe
people weren't meant to be with one person. Maybe we need to be like Bobby Brown and start humping around. You know, it's our prerogative. We can do what we want to do.
Oh, my goodness. I swear, Harvey, you are crazy sometimes. I love you. I love you dearly.
I'm just offering another way to look at this situation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get it. But the thing, there are so many people who are wanting, for those people who are wanting to be in a relationship, you really have to be in a place where you have to accept them because the likelihood of them changing is very
nil.
It's like very nil. If you can't accept that person for where they are and what they're presenting at that moment, you would have to accept it because the chances of them changing will not take place.
Mm.
Any type of change that truly, any type of authentic change, and let me, you know, see, because there are people who will, you know, go ahead and turn themselves into a pretzel, but, you know, after a while that, you know, the pretzel has to just sort of unwind itself, you know, or wind up getting eaten.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the crazy thing about it, because you talk about women putting themselves into a pretzel. You have men who don't necessarily put themselves into a pretzel, but they represent themselves as something that they're not. And even if a woman puts herself into a pretzel, it doesn't mean the man gonna stay with you because if he can sense something ain't right about you. And it's going to be impossible for you to stay that way, like Arlene is saying. But more importantly, it's going to be impossible for him to make a real connection with you because you're not genuine. And it's like, something's just not right about this chick. I don't want her. You know, both sex are looking for something, and both sex are finding the wrong thing. You know, men don't particularly ask what women want. Women ask what men want, but men think we have an idea what women want. Of course, that's getting more and more convoluted because, you know, when you run into the woman who you can't impress with your money because she got more money than you, you can't impress with your muscles because she can arm wrestle you and probably protect you if somebody mess with you. And then, you know, you got to look down in your pants and make sure you got one bigger than hers. And if she can beat you, you know, if it comes down to a sex-off like in the new Spike Lee movie, you better be prepared to win. And then it's like, well, what do I bring to the table? Because we as men have small ideas about what we're supposed to bring to the table. And it's more than just the sex that you can bring. Companionship, being able to have a communication, you know, being able to actually talk to someone and talk to them on different levels, and being able to talk to someone and raise them up in the conversation that you have. You can't put a price tag on that. That's priceless. You know, people don't realize it, but when you're in a relationship and you can communicate and you like talking to your partner, those people's relationships last longer.
Mm-hmm.
They're on that slightly less than 50% that still staying together because they've been talking to each other. They know each other. They know each other's likes. They laugh, you know, 30 years in the game and they still laughing at each other's jokes. They enjoy spending time together. They enjoy holding each other's hand. Why? Because they genuinely like each other. And so you got to go there. You got to realize that, you know, there's more to a relationship than sex. There's more to a relationship than money. There's certainly more to a relationship than this feeling of, ooh, I love you. Because you love me today, but I guarantee you in 368 days, you ain't going to feel the same way.
Maybe less than that.
And maybe less than that. And 5 years from then, you ain't going to feel the same way. Love is a roller coaster. It's going to be highs and it's going to be lows. And you got to decide when it's in the lows, do you get off this ride or do you stay on the ride? So it's not about all that twisting yourself into a pretzel, because a pretzel is only going to get you in a jam. You got to be straight up with it. You know, you got to come into this thing honest and be prepared to get psychologically naked with your partner. If you want to make love, do some synergistic energy exchange. Share all of you with all of them. That's all I'm saying. Hey, go ahead, Ollie.
Yes. And, you know, one of my favorite questions, and I actually did ask this question of myself before I had married my ex. You know, knowing what you know now, could you see yourself with that person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for life? For life. Could you say that? Now, I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm.
even before I got married, there was like a sort of a question mark on that, you know, on that answer for me before I had got married.
Okay.
However, you know, at the time, I was ready to, you know, put in my 100%, you know, and I was willing to do what I thought at the time was necessary, you know, to create a marriage that had longevity. However, what I learned in the process, because, you know, one of the things that you should always ask yourself is, what is it that you learned about yourself? And what is it that you know, what was your takeaway? What was it ultimately that you learned? Was that, first off, whatever the person is presenting,
mm-hmm.
you know, at that moment, when you get involved with them and you know, live with them, maybe not necessarily 24 hours a day, but at least a good 18,
mm-hmm.
18
mm-hmm.
hours.
You'll spend enough time with them.
Yeah. You know, everything that you see is going to get amplified over. Knowing that, amplified 10 times over the max. And hey, I really wish somebody had been, you know, was transparent enough with me and honest enough with me to have actually said that and said it in those words, because I don't know, maybe I would have, you know, paused a moment before actually getting married. But if you cannot really answer that question, you know, or with with a really firm yes, then maybe you really need to sit back and think about what it is that, you know, you're doing in terms of the relationship that you're having. Because if you can't answer that, if you can't answer it and say yes, if there are things about them that you know that over a period of time would grate on your nerves and grate in such a degree that you think that, you know, you could not handle it, then you need to leave them be and let them walk their journey. Because what they are essentially showing you is that they are not necessarily an energetic match. Now, one of the things that we as human beings tend to get into is this thing of really kind of wanting what we want and wanting it in the package that we want. But you're truly, when you're doing that, you're truly blocking yourself from the blessing that the source of creation would have for you. Because there's someone that is far more well-suited for you. And when you get into that place of actually beginning to work on yourself,
uh-huh,
and being what it is that you want to attract, like has a tendency to attract like. You know, there will be a place there where you will begin to recognize that a person is a far more better energetic match to you. You know, and I mean it. I let's just put it this way. And when you're continually working on yourself and making yourself better, or your interpretation of whatever better is, and you are being the person, being that individual that you're desiring to draw into your experience, then you will begin to notice that like-minded individuals are attracted to you. There are far more people who are an energetic match, and there will actually be a commentary about it from the individuals that you're attracting to into your experience. Why do I say this? Is because it's actually what I'm experiencing. It happens to me with such a degree of frequency that I, you know, it just lets me know that I am on the right track.
Specifically, but what are you experiencing?
Typically what I'm experiencing is that people are actually saying, you seem to have an inner light of, you know, an inner, you know, an inner light, and that's something that I like about you, or I like the way you're showing up in the world, things like that, and that seems to be happening with a great deal of consistency, when I'm just being Arlene. I'm just being Arlene.
Just Arlene.
Yes, just Arlene.
Nobody else. Not an occasional pretzel.
I no longer do the pretzel thing. I tend to be WYSIWYG, and WYSIWYG is another way of saying what you see is what you get. So yes, I got tired of pretzeling up myself for the other person. And after doing that, you know, you're in a sense dishonoring yourself when you do it. There were, I realized, like in my marriage, there were parts of myself that I hid from my husband because I knew that he couldn't handle it. And as a result of it, you know, there was a part of me that got exhausted with trying to hold that facade, hold that picture up. of course, you know, I'm, you know, much better place now, much better place now with being myself and not having to worry about it. And if they, you know, if they're cool with who I am, fine. And if they're not cool with it, that's fine too. Let's just say that my relationships in and of themselves, when I expressed more of myself, when I expressed more of the joy, and I'm still becoming more of who I am, more authentically, you know, Arlene. What I'm finding is that I'm attracting people who are okay with what Arlene is presenting, or who Arlene is presenting. I don't have to work at being myself because I'm being myself already. You don't have to work at it. You just be. And then, you know, and I'm even authentic about those times when I'm not necessarily being I'm being in my very human self. But what about you, Reverend Harvey? What has your experience been?
With what? I have all kinds of experiences.
Oh, well, you know.
I experienced life this morning. I got up and prayed and did some exercise, and, you know, I went on to work, and I told you they kicked me out of work, told me go home after feeding me and making me play some games and then, you know, putting some money in my pocket. They said go home. So, I mean, it depends upon what kind of experiences you're talking about.
Do you have any more to add or to say what I've said about being authentically yourself? Well, what is your experience been?
Oh, well, I think you covered really everything, you know, because that's a goal, to find peace within yourself. And so when you can be authentic and love yourself, then you find peace within yourself. You know, just earlier today I was reading this quote by Lao Tzu, and it says, until there's peace in the world, to have peace in the world, there must be peace in the cities. To have peace in the cities, there must be peace in the neighborhoods. To have peace in the neighborhoods, there must be peace in the homes. To have peace in the home, you must have peace in yourself. So when you talk about being authentic, you know, that says it all for me, because we are constantly at war with ourselves. We are divided amongst ourselves. The mind can be a crazy, crazy thing. And if you just sit back and just listen to the stuff that goes on in your mind, you'd be like, wow, I'm one sick bastard. You know, but you don't have to act on all the stuff that's going on in your mind. You see, because you're given the opportunity to choose. Even if someone does something to you, you're given the opportunity to choose to be upset. Some people have become addicted to being upset, and they don't realize it's an addiction. You know, you've done it so much that it's just what you do. You go to a store, the person who works there walk past you instead of saying, can I help you, and you're upset. But it don't hurt that person. It hurts you. You know, everything in life is a choice. It's a choosing. And when you choose peace in every moment, then you can choose to be authentic. Because you're choosing who you are. And even if you choose not to be peaceful, at least acknowledge and accept, I'm making a choice. When we say they, and you're pointing the fingers, they ain't done nothing to you. They've been doing stuff for 5 billion years plus, and they ain't got no name. They ain't got no name. They ain't got no face. You know, they always doing something. They ain't done jack. It's what you perceiving. And so go within and find your own peace. You know, to be authentic is a hard journey, because to be authentic means at first you got to be honest with yourself. And how hard is that, being honest with yourself? And man, you know, when we talk about being honest with yourself, that means every time something didn't go your way and you get upset about it, who are you blaming? And even if you're blaming yourself, are you able to forgive yourself? Because even if you've taken it on, I shouldn't have, I wish I should have, woulda, coulda, shoulda, all those kind of crazy things. You know what? You made the decision that you made, and there are no freaking accidents. Einstein said, either everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle. The fact that you're here is a miracle. Every decision that you make was the decision you were supposed to make. The proof of that is that you made it. So now you've done it. What do you do next? It's all about recovery. You know,
as Rocky would say, it ain't about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep getting up.
You know, so you know, when you ask me about being authentic, for me, it's something that I seek to do every single day. You know, check in with myself. How you feel about this? You know, is this something you need to say something about? Is this something you don't need to say anything about? What are you choosing? You know, are you choosing peace in this moment? You know, are you not choosing peace in this moment? Why are you not choosing peace in this moment? You know, no matter what went on, it always come down to me, because I got to live with me. And no matter where I go, there I am.
So true, so true.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, I suppose that people are probably wondering, well, what would be required? Or you can answer this, Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
What would be required to get to that place of being authentic, to be loving? Are there any strategies that you would recommend for a person?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work and pain. Like Mr. T said in Rocky III. Well, there are strategies, but you got to be diligent in them, because it doesn't come easy. You know, you didn't get the way you are overnight, and you're not going to get to a different way of being overnight. So if you didn't grow up in a house full of people who were teaching you how to love and honor yourself all the time, take it easy on yourself. You need to learn to be conscious of yourself. You know, self-awareness is huge. And by self-awareness, in case anyone doesn't understand what that means know where you are all the time. I'll give you an example. I'm on my way to work. The car in front of me is moving slow. I can clearly see there's nobody in front of the car. And so I start talking, what the heck wrong with these people? You know, why? If you don't want to drive, park your car and walk. And then I have to be conscious. Wait a minute. That ain't none of my business. That's how they driving. I can't drive their car. I can only drive my car. I can only drive their car if I get out of my car and get in their car. So my concern is what's right here, what I can control. While I'm worrying about trying to control somebody else, I'm not helping myself. I'm only raising my blood pressure. So what I need to do is either chill until I can get past them or find a way to get past them. My concern is not how slow they moving or whether they should be walking or driving. You know, and that's being mindful, knowing, catching yourself in that moment. You know, if I get upset about something, if somebody says something to me and it hurts my feelings, I have to be able to say, whoa, what am I feeling? Not, they said that, they are this, that, and the other, and all kinds of MFs and Bs and, you know, all this kind of stuff. You can say whatever you want to say out of your mouth. You know, it's always down to how I'm going to represent me. And so mindfulness means realizing I'm feeling, why I'm feeling that way, and what decision I'm going to make. Maybe this is somebody who I don't need to be around. Maybe I need to, you know, eliminate them from my circle of friends. And for some people, that's a hard thing to do. But you know what? You got to ask yourself, what's more important, you and your mental state or keeping false friends? False friends are friends who don't make you feel good about yourself. No matter what you think you owe them, no matter what kind of history y'all have, if they don't make you feel good about yourself, drop them like a hot potato. Move on. Surround yourself with friends who make you feel good, friends who share ideals that you share. And again, if you're not sure what I mean, if your phone rings and it's your friend, and you looking at it like, man, I don't want to answer this phone because this person going to talk forever, and all it's going to be is negativity, caustic complaining. You know, this is just toxic, and I don't want to deal with it. They're like a psychic vampire. They're going to suck all the energy out of you. And once they're done, they get off the phone, and all you can do is drop to the floor and like, oh, God, why'd I answer the phone? You know what? You need to put some space between you and that friend. No matter how close y'all are, even if it's a family member, you need to put some space between you and that person. But you got to be conscious of what's going on. You got to watch yourself when you get dragged into it, you know, because it's easy to get dragged into it. So always be conscious of where you're going. Two, meditation. Meditation helps you be conscious of where you're going, but it also helps you get into the right state of mind. Because like I said, you listen to what's going on in your mind and all kinds of madness be up in there. But when you meditate, you get into the right state of mind. You can find the peace within. So those are my two main ones that I suggest. You know, becoming conscious through awareness and meditation. And being diligent, because you don't have to put in some time. Like I said, you didn't get this way overnight. You're not going to change overnight.
Absolutely. And I'm in agreement with that, especially with the friends, especially being around friends who are like-minded, who, for the most part, when you're not necessarily presenting.
Oh, yeah.
That will listen to you for a moment and then ask you the question about, well, is this really where you want to be right now in terms of your, you know, in your mental thinking? And that will pull you up and, you know, say, oh, you know, you're being a little less than, and will allow you to be less than what it is that you feel is the ideal. However, you know, they're holding space and, you know, allowing, giving you the opportunity of saying, okay, you know, at some point you are better than this, but they would allow you to vent and then move forward with it. Also, being able to be okay with being by yourself.
Oh, Lord, no. Here you go with the craziness again. I ain't being by myself, man.
You're not being by yourself.
No. That's scary.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, if you can't keep company with your own self, who else is going to be hanging out with you? I mean,
other people who can't keep company with themselves. See? I'm going to hang with the other people who can't offend, who are afraid to be by themselves.
But the one of the things that, and mind you, I can truly sympathize with people who have this feeling of being lonely, of being by themselves. And I've been there.
But you can be around a bunch of people and still be lonely.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But wanting that loving partner to be a part of their experience and wanting a relationship and things of that nature. When you eventually get to that, when you start putting yourself first. And loving yourself and, you know, being okay. When you get to that point of being okay with being by yourself and not necessarily feeling that, what I would call a kind of a gaping hole of wanting, then you will be in a place of attracting what it is that you desire. But again, it comes from doing the work, from being aware of, you know, being aware and accepting and loving of yourself where you are right in that moment.
So now I got something to say on that, because you say about being, you know, okay with yourself. It almost sounds like you're saying be selfish. Are you telling our listeners that, you know, they should be selfish?
Well, you know what? I would not necessarily use it in that way, but yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, you know, being selfish and loving yourself means caring for yourself first.
Oh.
It doesn't mean that you violate anybody else's boundaries, but you have to honor your own. You don't honor your own boundaries, you're violating the most important relationship that you have. And the most important relationship that you have is with yourself.
So what do you mean by boundaries?
Okay, so say for instance,
mm-hmm. I'm saying.
Say for instance, you really are a person that doesn't want to, doesn't drink.
That's me.
Okay. Well, okay, that's you.
That's me.
And you're around in a setting where other people are drinking, and you're okay
mm-hmm.
with not drinking, but then there's one person that's getting really pushy and like, well, why don't you have a drink? Why don't you have a drink? And you allow yourself, you know, being that you're not into drinking, just happen to have a drink, you know, that is a violation of your own personal boundaries, because that's not something that, you know, that you want to do, nor do you, it's not in a place of actually honoring yourself and honoring your boundaries. You know, whether or not you drink something, or whether or not you drink something or not, or if you know that that's not what you do, and you do it again, you do it just because somebody else kept badgering you and encouraging you to do it, then, you know, you have violated your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't selfish enough and loving of yourself enough to just tell them, you need to go kick rocks. I'm fine drinking my, drinking my ginger ale or whatever type of drink that you had would have had that was non-alcoholic.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that, let's try another one. Like another place where I'm sure that there have been people who have done this before
mm-hmm.
was, not really wanting to have sex.
Oh.
When, you did the sex because the other person was wanting it, and then you just feel like you feel real crummy about yourself afterwards.
I would never do that.
You would never do that?
No. If some poor lady wants to have sex, it's my duty to tap that booty. I can just not feel bad about that. I mean, I'm obligated. It's okay. Okay, seriously, it's time we take a break and run a commercial, and then we'll come back and maybe we'll be a little more serious when we come back.
Okay.
Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world-famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old-school favorites in R&B, hip-hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, and the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.
And we're back.
Yes, we are.
All right. So you were talking about honoring yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just honoring yourself and honoring where you are. And that just, again, that comes down to really just being honest about what you're presenting. If you're angry about something, allow yourself to be angry about that thing and just at some point let that go. If there are situations that you don't particularly care too much for, honor that. Allow yourself to have your full range of experiences with all of your emotions, because we have as a society, been taught that it's not a good thing to express those parts of ourselves, even
mm-hmm.
those parts of ourselves that are deemed inappropriate. But what begins to happen is when you begin to try to suppress those things and try to hide those things, they have this tendency to, bob up like apples, trying to get apples out of a barrel. They don't sink. They eventually come back up. They don't stay in the water. They don't stay in the water. And those things that you haven't dealt with, those things are looking to be acknowledged. Those things are looking to be healed. It's one of the reasons why the process of self-actualization, and realization, it takes so much time, because we've spent so much time suppressing what it is that we've been thinking and feeling. And we have, many people have been punished into, keeping that part of themselves under wraps. But the thing that what happens is you all of a sudden have this big explosion because you have not addressed those things right then and there, allowed yourself to feel those things then and there, be it positive or negative, regardless, or the perception or the idea of negative, because truly it's not negative, it's just an expression
mm-hmm.
of what's going on inside and internally, and begin to take a look at those things that come up. Take a look at them, address them, forgive them, and then forgive them, or just allow yourself to experience it and then go on. Because, you don't want to go through your life experience with those things being suppressed.
Right.
Because at some point, it will find a way to express itself.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well let it come out as just pure raw emotion, as opposed to some type of dis-ease that takes place in the body, because that's what begins to happen when you're and look to see if you can find more constructive ways of, if you're a person that tends to be angry, find a way to express that anger in a way that's not necessarily, destructive to you necessarily yourself or other people. But, allow yourself to be human, to have this human experience, and to be in that moment and then let it go, and so that you can, it does not stay in the body. One of the things that one of the techniques that that I use, I've been using as of late, is chanting. And what I have found is that, or at least the person who with whom I follow, who does teaching about chanting, what he talks about is that when you do the chanting, especially when you reach what's called mantra siddhi, it's like when you set a chant for like 500,000 times, and then there's another one when you've said it a chant like a million times, and what begins happening is that people begin to have physical manifestations of toxins, like the toxic emotions. The person actually begins to present as if they're ill. And then after they've chanted through that process, it's released from the body and it begins to let go. So that is a particular method that might be of use to some people. Getting the opportunity to actually write those things down, or journaling. Journaling is a great way to release those thoughts, those energies that may not... those energies, so that you can release it, so that you can be in a more peaceful state and be in a more loving and accepting state of yourself. That's another technique that's pretty good. And like Reverend Harvey said, my number one go-to for self-love and self-actualization is meditation. And allowing yourself to, you know, I guess you could say that when you do meditation, you get closer to the nature of your true self, of your true state, when you are in meditation. And as you continue to go into that place, that sort of non-local level, that place of calmness, you are far more in alignment with who it is that you really are and who it is that you're really wanting to present out into the world. And when you continue to do that as a practice, you will more than likely find more and more that you are becoming and being the person who it is that you truly desire to be, especially when you go into meditation with the intent to sort of ask the body in the meditative state, you know, how does it feel to be loving, if that is something that you're desiring? What does it feel like to my body to be whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy? And when you begin, I would say, for the habit to be rote, it's best to do it for at least 30 days. And after the 30 days, it becomes easier, and after 90 days, it just becomes sort of more of an innate part of your practice. And because, like Reverend Harvey said earlier, it's not an easy road. It's not the road for the light of heart either. To be self-aware, to take ownership of who it is that you are and what it is that you're presenting, and not blaming others for what it is that you're thinking and feeling. It takes a great deal of responsibility. And, you know, I think that once people, you know, enough people begin doing this, that and where they begin that path of self-actualization, that we will eventually get to what I call the 100th monkey effect. And what I mean by that is that when monkeys are learning a new skill, you know, one monkey teaches another monkey how to do it, and by the time the 100th monkey learns how to do that particular skill, when any of the monkeys are born after that 100th monkey, that energy, that particular skill is built into the consciousness of the monkey, and the monkey does not have to be taught how to do it. So the more of us who get into that state of actualization, that state of self-loving, when enough of us do this, then the rest of the world will follow along too. Anything to add to that, Reverend Harvey?
No, you are doing fine.
Well, do we have any callers out there that would be interested in chiming in? Please press 1, and we will bring you in. Is there anybody out there, Reverend Harvey?
No, love, not right now. It is just you and I.
It is just you and I?
You and I.
Okay. Well, do you want to play a musical selection before we, you know, head out?
You know what? I think we should do that.
Okay.
What you want to hear?
I am particularly fond of Conqueror, but, you know, we don't have to play that one because, you know, that's not necessarily like a love thing. But I would like to hear that by Estelle.
Okay. Well, if that's what you want.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Life is like a big merry-go-round. You're up and then down, going in circles trying to get to where you are. Everybody's been counting you out. Where are they now? Getting in the same old place, just faces in the crowd. We all make mistakes. You might fall on your face, but you gotta get up. Yeah. I'd rather stand
Boy, do I really love that song.
Really? Because I can play it again.
That's okay. Well, you know what? I think that we can go ahead and wrap this up. Do you have any final words, Reverend Harvey?
I do. Mm-hmm. In closing, I would just like to say, you know, in reference to what we talked about this evening, most people would agree that relationships are hard, but relationships begin with you. The work that you put into making you the best product that you can be is most valuable. It's more important than anything else. Looking for happiness outside yourself will never give you the happiness that you want because it's fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. If you want happiness, you've got to find it within. As Reverend Arlene said, when you are able to be by yourself and not be lonely, that's when you love you. If you're lonely when you're alone, this is the same company you're giving to someone else. If you're not good company for you, how can you be good company for somebody else? It all begins with you. Learn to love yourself and do it today. Don't wait, because the world needs you in a very big way. There are no accidents. Everyone's here for a reason. We all have a role to play, and the stage is waiting for you to step up and be a star. Do your thing.
Okay. That is so beautifully put. I don't want to follow it up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap for us tonight. Please join me.
We're a hit, baby. They love us.
Well, Reverend Harvey has his show, The Inner Consciousness, that's coming up. You want to tell them a little bit about that before we go?
Absolutely. It's going to be in 2 weeks, Christmas Eve, and we've got a special Christmas gift for you. We are going to talk about God and gods. That's right. I said we're going to talk about God and gods, and we're going to go deep into spirituality and metaphysics and religion. And Reverend Arlene is actually going to be my guest.
Yay!
In the inner consciousness. Yes, that's right. She will be in the inner consciousness with me as we have this conversation, this discussion.
Yeah, and on the 31st of this month, I have a very, very special guest on Healing Paradigms. This is a gentleman by the name of Jamar, who has a fantastic healing story to tell from being, you know, paralyzed from the neck down to learning or getting himself or thinking himself and praying himself into walking and into wellness. So please join us at 7 o'clock on the 31st. That's the 5th Thursday of the month.
You mean in 3 weeks?
Yeah, in 3 weeks. Can
you
believe it?
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Happy New Year!
But join us on the 31st, where I bring on Jamar, and he will tell us his fantastic story. And, you know, it's truly, truly inspiring. I know that you all will enjoy it. But love, peace, and blessings to you. And, you know, Reverend Harvey, you could go ahead and take us out.
Well, I don't sing, so I guess I'm going to have to play something on here to take us out with. Let's see. What can we find? What can we find? What can we find? What request do you have?
Between the Sheets.
Between the Sheets. Mm-hmm. Oh, you all nasty.
Look at you.
Yeah,
brothers. Yeah.
Like this is a relationship show, and we're trying to get people all riled up between the sheets. I don't even know what to say about that. Well, I tell you what, everyone. As always, it's a pleasure coming to you every second Thursday of the month with Relationship Talk, me and Reverend Arlene. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Merry Kwanzaa, and Happy Hanukkah. And if I missed anybody, my apologies.
Hey girl, ain't no mystery.